Good evening, everyone. This week, we return to talking about medications, because some really famous medications rose to prominence in the 20th century. Specifically, this episode, we'll talk about the drug called paracetamol or acetaminophen, which you may know as Tylenol or Panadol, which are just some of its many brand names. These two names, paracetamol and acetaminophen, refer to the exact same drug. They are just used more often in different areas of the world, with acetaminophen being used mostly in the United States and Japan, and pretty much everyone else using paracetamol. I'm guessing I don't need to tell you what acetaminophen is for, but just in case, it's one of the most common pain relief drugs for minor to moderate pain. According to one source from 2014, it was the most used medication in the entire world, which if you think about how many medications there are is pretty crazy. As of 2019, there were over 4 million prescriptions for the drug in the United States, and that's not even including over-the-counter purchases. These numbers don't really surprise me, though, as I've pretty much always got a bottle of acetaminophen in my house in some form. I just checked, and I've got acetaminophen tablets and cold medicine that's just acetaminophen mixed with some decongestants. And I would bet that a ton of you listening have this drug lying around somewhere in your house, too. Considering how ubiquitous this drug is now, you may be wondering how we got here. And for that, we must start all the way back in 1876. 1876 was the year that Johns Hopkins University, where I now do research, was actually founded, about 150 years ago. The fledgling university hired a man named Harmon Northrop Morse as one of its chemistry associates. Morse did a whole bunch of stuff, but we are concerned with him in this episode because he was the first person to prepare the acetaminophen molecule all the way in 1876, just 2 years after the founding of the university. Despite how early we discovered the drug, it would not see much use for a very long time. Let's jump ahead about a decade to 1884. That year in Strasbourg, now part of France, two young doctors named A. Kahn and P. Hepp asked a professor for advice on how to treat their patient, who was suffering from a fever and a worm infestation. This famous professor suggested they try a drug called naphthalene, which had been recommended as an intestinal antiseptic. Figuring this famous guy must know what he was doing, they tried it out and were disappointed when the worms were completely unaffected. However, they did notice that the patient's fever fell a little bit after the drug was given. These two doctors had never heard of naphthalene reducing fevers, and so they began researching this, and eventually found out that their local pharmacy had just screwed up and given them the completely wrong chemical. They instead had received a chemical called acetanilide, which explained the new properties. Sensing there could be something useful here, Kahn and Hepp first tested the drug in rabbits and dogs, and confirmed it did reduce fevers in them without causing any visible toxicity. They then tried the drug out in 24 new patients, who all showed reductions in fevers. I'd like to highlight that the ethics of this were not great, considering they didn't really inform the patients or anything, but medical ethics have improved a lot since the late 1800s. And they really should have informed those patients, because although the drug did reduce fevers, the two doctors noticed that some patients turned a little blue. Despite this, they pushed for it to be produced by a local company and began pitching it as a drug for reducing fevers, and did so successfully. But widespread use quickly revealed that maybe when your patients turn a different color, you probably shouldn't ignore it. Acetanilide interferes with your ability to oxygenate blood, which is why patients were turning blue. And on top of that, the similar compound aniline was already known to have this effect. A search for similar but safer drugs was kicked off as a result. The pharmaceutical company Bayer makes its return to our podcast at this point. As you may recall from earlier episodes in this season, they were one of the most successful pharmaceutical companies, and in fairly short order had found several other drugs for reducing fevers and relieving pain, including aspirin, as we know. The hunt for a drug with even less side effects was still on, though, and one candidate was paracetamol, which had been discovered, of course, decades before. A famous pharmacologist of the same time observed, though, that paracetamol did not seem much better than previous drugs, and that it still interfered with oxygen uptake. Unfortunately, this was a mistake, and although it's not clear exactly what happened, it's theorized that the mistake was caused by impurities in the drugs used for testing. This mistake was to cost paracetamol its reputation, and for decades it did not see any use, which is crazy considering how early it was discovered. This is also why I've held off on telling this story until now, because it did not really see any prominence until the mid-1900s. Not until 1946, when some American scientists were investigating how a common pain-relieving drug of the time, called phenacetin, exactly worked. Scientists Lester, Greenberg, Flynn, Brody, and Axelrod from Yale and New York showed that phenacetin was metabolized by the body into paracetamol, and was the main reason the drug worked at all. This had first been proposed all the way back in 1894, but not confirmed until this research over 50 years later. Phenacetin could be broken down by the body into other toxic substances as well, and was actually harming habitual users of the drug, often with kidney damage. In contrast, paracetamol was already itself, and so paracetamol was the better option over phenacetin, although scientists of the time were mistaken in thinking that paracetamol could not cause any kidney damage. Nonetheless, it was better than the drugs that came before it, particularly in that it wouldn't turn patients blue and screw with their oxygen uptake. In the mid-1950s, a grand total of roughly 70 years after its initial preparation, paracetamol, aka acetaminophen, began to rise to the heights it still sees today, with near-ubiquitous use. Pretty sure this is one of the slowest drugs that I've read about to go from discovery to the market. In the decades since its release, paracetamol has likely helped with millions, if not billions, of aches and pains, without some of the risks of older drugs. However, paracetamol is not without issues, most seriously that in higher doses it can be very toxic to the liver. I have found articles arguing for its replacement with newer pain relief drugs, many of which are also very famous, and in my opinion worth discussing. And so next week, let's talk about the development of the drug ibuprofen. Thanks for lending me your ear. If you like what you hear, let me know with the links in the show notes or leave us a review. I've also recently been interviewed by the Noise Filter podcast, which was very cool for me, since the only interviews I've ever done before were for jobs, where I was asked about my research in applying artificial intelligence to medicine here at Johns Hopkins, my thoughts on public health, and some tidbits from our season about public health. If any of that sounds interesting to you, please go check out their show too. I will link it in the show notes. Thanks also, of course, to Jojo Tang for editing, Angie Lee for our cover art, and Muse Open for this outro music.